Tell you what, I'm going to do my best to teach this morning, but you know who's a better teacher? Amen. So let's just have a moment where we each come before the Lord and ask Him to teach us and ask Him to take the words that I share this morning and put it deep into your heart and bring transformation into your own life. I'm going to articulate a prayer, and I just encourage you all to say the same thing or similar in your own words. Father, we come before You now. We want to be shaped by You. God, I want to be shaped by You. I want to look more and more like Your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would You take these words and bring shape to my life? I'm just going to allow a moment for each of us to do that individually. Move in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to wrap things up in our sermon series entitled All Hands on Deck, Discovering and Using Your Spiritual Gifts. It's so important that we would each know the gifts that God has given us and the way that He has created us in order that we would function properly, right? And here's the an illustration that I want to do. Amy, if I could give you this, it's good to see you this morning. If you could hold on to that for me. Chris, if I could give that to you. And, I mean, it's only right if you got two Chris's, so I'm going to hand that to you. Here's what I want you guys to do with that. Could you give me, in maybe about 15 seconds, a few descriptions that would describe what that is that you're holding in your hand? What's it made of? What's it look like? What's it feel like? Contemplative. I like that. What do you think, Christiane? Give me some descriptions. Okay. 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 Good. Round, semi-cylinder, hard. There's a hole on the inside. Okay. What does it seem to you that you have over here?
In my hand, I am holding a miniature javelin made out of steel. With a dot of ink, or maybe remnants of blood from previous battles.
Leave it to Pastor Ben to bring a weapon.
A threaded plastic rear end for ballast.
Okay, wow. Technical. I like that. And what do we have over here?
Metal cylinder, kind of pointy.
All right, let me get those back from you guys. What we have here is a making to a pen, and a decently nice pen. When I was on my trip to the South, Pastor tried to steal it from me, and then I reminded him that stealing is sin. So you better watch out. But just think about these pieces all on their own. If it's just Chris's piece over here, what good is this piece going to do on its own? You ain't going to do nothing with it. This is created for a purpose, to do something very specific, and the only way for this to do its rightful job is to be working with the other pieces. Now, this centerpiece, one could make a point that, well, you could still write with this. It is a pen. Your hand's going to cramp up, and then I'm going to make fun of you for using just a little thing of ink, right? The only way this works to its full potential is when it's working with the other pieces, and same with this. Right? And so each of these pieces actually has to work together in order to function the way that it is created to function. And now I can write and look great while I'm doing it because it's a good-looking pen. Amen? I'll let you hold on to that, but if you take it, I'm going to come after you. That's the importance to spiritual gifts. And this is like an example that Paul would give us in the working of the body. Each of us are different parts. Each of us have different functions, but in order for us to be a fully functioning body, we've all got to be doing and living the way that God has created us to live, using the gifts that God has given each of us. In order for that pen to function properly, it's got to be put together and working all together. And that's why we're talking about spiritual gifts, because if we want to do what I believe God wants to do through this church, we've got to be doing what God has called each of us to do. Live in the way that God has called each of us to live. So what are spiritual gifts? This is, week number 7? Do we remember the definition of spiritual gifts? Someone help me out. God-given, is it natural ability or supernatural, but you're like, Ben, you don't got a slide for that. I know. I'm just challenging you guys. Spiritual gifts are God-given supernatural ability. They're not talents and they're not skills. They're given to us from God, and they're to flow from a motivation of love, how much we love the people around us. It's not for self-love and self-building up. It's to love the body around us. We've talked about the different ways that these, or the different types of gifts that we see within Scripture. We saw in Romans chapter 12, the resident motivation gifts. These gifts that just flow from our life naturally as we are yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to remember these as we talked about it. And I want you to think about whether this was you. And I've been doing this each time because it's so important that we recognize the way that God has created us. The first is prophecy. If you have the resident motivation gift of prophecy, you're always thinking, what is God speaking through this? What's God speaking through this circumstance, through this verse? This bird flew by twice. What's God saying up through that? Right? This is just how your mind works all the time. Is that you? If it is, boy, we need you. This church, this body needs you. Is it service? Are you always wondering, how can I serve this person? How can I serve these people? How can I serve this community? How can I serve, serve, serve? That's the gift of service, and we need you. What about teaching? That's the way I kind of flow. Everything can be solved by simply giving more information, by teaching people. That can solve all of the world's problems. I know we had a couple other teachers up in here. We need you. Encouragers. I specifically make my life so that I've got encouragers around me because I need them. And I think we all need them. We need people to encourage us. So if you're an encourager, we need you. Resident motivation gift of giving. Someone who's constantly trying to figure out, I just want to give. I want to give to you, give to you, give to you. It's dangerous for you to have cash because you, by the end of the day, it's gone. Right? You just want to give. Then there's the leadership gift. You are gifted in gathering people. People seem to be all around you all the time. And you have a gift of getting people going towards a goal. You're like, come with me. We're going to do this. If that's you, we need you. And then the gift of mercy. As I prayed over Ella this morning, just beating the Father's heart. You're beating the Father's heart. So we need all of these. And I believe that every single one of us, as we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, has one of these or multiple of these flowing through our life. Is that what you guys want?
That's right.
That's what I want. That's what I want for all of us. We also talked about the ministry gifts. Whose role is it to do the work of ministry? All of us, right? That is all of us, right? And God has given us the fivefold ministry gifts to help equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so we see the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That these leaders within the church, people with these positions, would be empowered by the power of God in order to equip the church so that we can do our job in ministering to the world around us and bringing the transformation that's truly needed. And then we've begun talking about the manifestation gifts. So let's go ahead and read together in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the manifestation gifts. Starting in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Right? It's important to note that he says mute idols, because what we're talking about with manifestation gifts are these gifts by the Holy Spirit that are making it known that God is here, that God is real, that God actually does the stuff that we see throughout the Bible. He still does that all today. That's what these manifestation gifts are doing. And by talking about these mute idols, we're talking about a polytheistic time where people are worshiping a number of different gods throughout Corinth, right? But all of these gods were mute. They're not going to show up. They're not going to do these powerful things that God really does, right? And this God, our God, the one true one, the almighty one, you guys get the point. He's real, and he's here, and he still does the things that we see in the Bible. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Essentially, what's being said here is, I don't know, have you guys ever wondered about spiritual gifts and just been like, oh, where's this coming from? Like, is this of the Lord or not? The ultimate question to ask while we're seeing spiritual gifts is this glorifying to Jesus? Is it putting Jesus as Lord, or is it building others up? Right? Is it to make it known that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who sits upon the throne? Or is it not doing that? That's the ultimate question we need to be asking when we see spiritual gifts. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Lord. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them in everyone. And I love the verbiage that is used here, both in the English as well as in the Greek. That's everyone, and that is each, right? So essentially what that means is that's available to you. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, God making himself known, can be done through you as you're yielded to the Holy Spirit. That means us saying, all right, God, use me. That means us coming to Sunday morning and Monday morning and Tuesday morning, all of us coming together and saying, God, how do you want to use me today to make it known to everyone around me that you are real, that you are here, and that you still do the awesome things that we see in the Scriptures? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterances of wisdom, and to another utterances of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of those tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So a few principles that we've talked about. These are manifestation gifts. These manifestation gifts are expressions of the Holy Spirit. Right? They're making it known that he is indeed here. These manifestation gifts are a benefit to the whole church, because God knows everything that each of us needs to hear to be freshly in awe of him, or needs to see to be freshly in awe of him and to encounter him. Manifestation gifts address the needs of the whole church, and they're available to the whole church. I think that's one of the greatest importance that I just see through this series, is that I want all of us to know that the Holy Spirit can and will use you. He can and will use you as we submit to him. And so here's kind of where we've been as we've looked at a few of these gifts already. We've talked about the utterances of knowledge, or words of knowledge. Right, that God would speak to me something that I would have no way of knowing, and this is how he would manifest his presence here. And so we did that with, Ashley, a couple weeks ago, I think, right? Was that right? Okay. And we also demonstrated the words of wisdom. Wisdom is what? Knowing what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Right. And so a lot of times these gifts will piggyback off of each other. Right. We'll get a word of knowledge where I know something because God has told me. And then because of that knowing something, now God wants to also let that person know what to do in light of that. Anyone grateful for those moments? Right. Not just telling me something that I need to know, but also what to do with that. I'm grateful for that, because otherwise I get lost really easily. And then we talked about prophecy, as well as gifts of faith. And this morning we're going to continue on with a couple more of these. Let's see how far we can get through. Gifts of healing is the next one. And we have the definition as being the ability to bring supernatural restoration of ailment, removing of disease, relieving of pain through prayer. We see this as a norm in the Bible. This is a norm. That Jesus would heal people, and then he would tell his disciples to go and pray for the sick, and that he would see them recover. That they would see them recover, and then on and on and on. Are we disciples of Jesus? Amen. Yeah. We're disciples of Jesus. What are we being conformed into? The image of Jesus. We are looking more and more like Jesus, and this should be a part of our life. We should pray for the sick. I shared that story last time where I was in the church in, where was it, Louisiana. And I'm sitting up front, and the pastor's sitting to my right, and I just had this weird word of knowledge, but it came via an actual feeling. And I feel like this tweak in my back. I'm like, oh, this ain't right. What is this? What's going on? I haven't had this kind of pain. This is funky. And there's a guy sitting next to me, the pastor, and I don't know who has the back pain or what. I'm like, I know this isn't my back pain, so I'm just going to pray. Father, if there's anyone here with this back pain, I'm just going to pray until it goes away in me physically. And I'm praying, God, heal whoever this is, heal whoever it is. And then the pastor sitting next to me is going, oh, moving around a little bit. What's going on over there? And after the fact, he says, yeah, I know that the pastor next to me was praying for me because I got healed. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. I didn't even know. I used to work at Providence. I worked up there for 6 years. I remember one of my favorite instances still to this day of God's healing power. I was scheduled to take this guy to the OR. And essentially what he had going on was he had a collapsed lung. And so what happens when you have a collapsed lung is that the air outside of your lung is now putting pressure on that lung so it can't expand. It can't get that air in there, right? So essentially what needs to take place is they need to put a chest tube in, which is probably a bad picture for some of you, sorry. A chest tube, right, going in through one of your ribs, and it's going to allow that air or the fluid to come out of the chest cavity and allow the lung to reinflate. Right? That's the only way for that lung to reinflate. And so I go in, and it's this big burly guy. He's got tats and stuff. And I look at him, and he's clearly freaking out a little bit. I'm like, all right, bro. So I'm getting him ready. My partner's like taking their sweet time because it takes two of us to wheel these big beds around the hospital. I'm like, all right, would you mind if I like prayed for you? Would you like prayer? And he's like, yeah, I was going to. I just don't really know how. I'm like, okay. Here's how I'll pray for you. And I just lay my hand on his shoulder and I pray over him. And that was it. So my partner finally gets there when we take the bed and get down to IR and leave him there. And I'm like, okay, on to the next job. I get a call a few minutes later, like, you gotta come pick this guy up. I'm like, you're done already? That was a quick chest tube. All right, cool. So we go in there and get there. And the lady's kind of got this funny look on her face. Like, yeah, we didn't have to do anything. I'm like, what do you mean he didn't have to do anything? Okay, and I'm wheeling the guy back upstairs, and he's like, you guys realize that when you prayed, my lung actually reinflated? I'm like, what? Come on. Oh, man, and I got to pray with him again on the other side of that and just a rededication of his life to the Lord. Like, this stuff really happens. God really does do these healing things. I've seen it where I'm praying for someone, and they have back problems because there's no arch in their foot. They're flat-footed, and I'm sitting there praying, and I'm like, whoo, like if foot starts, like dirt, like putting new arches in the feet, what? Right? And I've seen a guy, I remember in Crescent City, and we had him sitting up against the wall, so his back was flat up against it, and his legs were off kilter. Like, it was either his spine or his leg is like shorter than the other, and I'm like, all right, well, let's pray. And I watch as this leg starts equaling out. And his pain went away, and he could start running again. What? Had someone standing on stage at Mill Creek Four Square Church after a conference, comes in with these thick glasses, and I'm praying over their eyes, and they leave and they don't need the glasses anymore because God just heals their eyes. What? We hear stories about how God heals people from cancer, people at Mill Creek Four Square, right? God does this stuff. It's real, right? And this is one of the ways that God manifests His present. It's like Him tapping on your shoulder and being like, hey, Sam, I'm real and I'm here and I still do this stuff, right? How exciting would that be for us to see that here this morning, right? Anybody else want that?
Oh, yeah.
I want that. If you want healing, could you stand up? If you have anything wrong in your body, I don't even care how big or how small, anything wrong with it, I want to pray. You know, I was reminded by Mary Reed, it was probably a good month ago now, maybe a little more. She said, Ben, the Bible says that when you're sick, we should go to the elders and they should anoint you with oil. Like, you are absolutely right. And so I brought my oil with me this morning. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to, I'm going to put it on your hand, just because it'll be easier. But I don't think there's any less holiness in that at all. But here's what we should do. Let's believe that God's really here. That God's really able to heal bodies. Right? So if you're around someone who's standing, let's just lay a hand on them. If someone doesn't have someone next to them, let's move. And I'm just going to come around. And would you just be praying? It can be a simple God heal. God heal and believe. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for your healing power. In Jesus' name, heal right now. Make this body right. Make it whole in Jesus' name. Lord, healing, Lord. Healing in Jesus' name. Make this body whole. All pain, all discomfort, leave in the name of Jesus. We just pray for full functioning, God. Full functioning in Jesus' name. Oh, no, no. You are the healer, God. Thank you, Lord. Heal, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Healing. Was there anyone else standing over here? This guy over here. Got you. Thank you, Lord. Heal. Heal right now. Make this body whole. Pain, discomfort, leave in the name of Jesus. Were you guys all standing, all three back here in the back row? Okay, let's see your hands. Boom, boom. Thank you, Lord. Healing now in Jesus' name. Pain, discomfort, leave. Wholeness, God. Make right. Thank you, Jesus. Heal, Lord. Heal. Healing, Lord. Anoint with oil, Lord, for healing. Heal. Thank you, God. I pray for Danielle, Lord. Healing in her body fully and completely, God. Full. You are able, Lord. Heal. Healing, Lord. God, we declare your sovereignty in this place, that you are able, that you are willing. God, we know that healing will take place either now or later. We just pray that you would manifest your presence here this morning, that you would make it known that you indeed are here, that they would stir faith, that it would take us deeper, Lord, in our relationship with you, that it would grow intimacy, that it would be a contagious faith, God. Heal bodies now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that which you have started and pray that you would bring it to fulfillment, Lord. Bring it to fulfillment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, anybody feel a difference as of yet? Anybody who's able to test what was any pain, discomfort, anything that's gone? Anything. Anything. Any changes? Okay. Yeah. Okay, is that different? And you're walking. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Does it still need more? Yeah, yeah. Shoot, that's kind of like fuel for the fire for Ben right there. So, I mean, if it started, let's just go more. Which knee is it? Okay. Father, we just lay hands on it right now. Full healing, God. I pray full strength over the muscles, over the ligaments, everything, Lord, just full wholeness now in Jesus' name. That you would have full range of mobility, full range of motion, no pain, no discomfort, not even clicking, Lord. Not even clicking. Heal, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Man, she's going to be dunking and whew, tell you what. Is God real? Is God here? Does God do the stuff that he does in the Bible?
Amen.
That's right. He is an awesome God. Come on. My Lord. My Lord. The next one is a working of miracles that Paul gives here. It's the ability to perform supernatural acts which clearly demonstrate God's power over natural elements for His purposes. The Greek word used here is dunamis, and this is the workings of miraculous power. We see this in the miracle of provision, where God just provides, like feeds, what, thousands of people out of some fish and some bread? Yeah, that's awesome. There's creative miracles where He heals people who have been sick and have ailments since birth. God does that. There's also resurrection miracles. There are documented cases where people have been risen from the dead by the power of God. That's unreal. But unreal really isn't in God's vocabulary, is it? Nope. That's powerful. You know, I heard a story. I think it was one of the first stories I heard from Tyrone. You guys were doing something, and you kept going back to the fridge, and there just kept being more. It was like chocolate milk or juice or something. Yeah, God just kept, like, replacing it. We're going to run out. No, not on my watch. All right? God manifesting His presence. And what does that do in you? It, like, sparks that faith again, right? Just kind of next level faith. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, as we're looking at Marley and God healing, this is Him saying, yeah, okay, I'm here. So good. So that's another way that God manifests His presence. And then through discerning of spirits is the next one. I want to be clear here because we often say, or it's often said in the church, that I have the gift of discernment. Right? I have the gift of discernment. I am a discerning individual by the power of God. Right? That's not what this gift is. Okay. This gift is the discerning of spirits. It's the discerning of what's behind what is actually going on in this instance, if I can say it. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to be discerning people, right? Let's not throw all wisdom and understanding out with the bathwater. Let's not throw that all out. We need to be discerning. But this is specifically talking about discerning of what's going on in the situation. It's going into a situation and seeing something that may be off, and you just need to know, is this of God, or is this not? We see this sometimes when we're dealing in, like, deliverance ministry, right? As we're going in the situation, what is this? Is this physical? Is this someone just make pretending? Or is this something spiritual? Do we need to cast something out here, right? We need to know what to do, how to help this person. We see this in Acts 16 as Paul is going into Philippi, and there's this girl, this young servant girl, who's able to tell prophecies or of the sort, and fortune-telling is the word I was looking for. And she's going around after Paul saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God. And sometimes I wonder, like, isn't that a good thing? Like, is it... I mean, what's going on here? But it says that Paul was annoyed, so it clearly isn't good, and there's God's timing and then not, and then, you know, so all of that we take into play, and we could go really deep into this passage, which I'm not going to take you there fully this morning. But Paul had this discernment by saying, this is not of God, what this person is doing. And so clearly this is a demonic spirit, and he also is able to know that her powers are coming from a demonic spirit, so he cast the spirit out, because, I mean, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. You know, I've been saying that every day over the past little bit. And if you take anything this morning, take that. Declare that. Because there isn't anything in this world that can come against you when you're standing with God, right? Take that with you this morning. Yeah, we need the gift of discernment. It helps us avoid deception. You know, one of the things that Pastor Ben likes to say is the thing about deception is that it's really deceiving, right? Satan often doesn't come up and knock on our door and say, hey, I am the deceiver and I am going to be deceiving you today. If you see my name tag, it says deceiver, and I just want to deceive you out of this. Here's a pamphlet on how I'm going to deceive you today, right? It doesn't happen like that. And, you know, I've been in situations where... Yeah, not terrible situations, really, where I've been a part of a church and someone has come in and as a guest speaker and just started like really speaking negative things to people, negative things to the church. And I was just like, my goodness, what's happening here? And in that moment, discerning of spirits is really important, because they're coming in the name of God as a representative of Jesus, right? But we need to know that ain't right, right? What he's doing isn't right. That's not of God. We see the enemy always trying to deceive. So it helps us identify the work of the enemy. Helps us identify what God is doing also. This gift of discernment can be used in that way. Specifically, maybe in like services or even in a coffee shop. Anywhere we go. As we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, he's going to help us understand what's God doing, right? What's happening in the atmosphere around me, right? We battle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities, which means that behind everything going on in the physical, there's also something, a spiritual war going on. And so we need to be mindful of that. And this gift of discerning of spirits can be very helpful with that. And the final here, with our final 5 minutes, is tongues and interpretation. Now, here's the deal. We're not going to go super deep into this, because on July 2nd, this past July 2nd, there was a message that we went through that broke down speaking in tongues very clearly and with great depth. So it's on our podcast, so go back and listen to that if you have questions. And we can talk about it afterwards if you would like. But just to simply break down, this definition of tongues is the different kinds of tongues or languages. The gifts of the different kinds of tongues or languages is the supernatural ability to speak or pray in a language not known by the speaker. Again, God is empowering this person by his Holy Spirit to be able to articulate in a language that he or she does not know. And then the gift of interpretation of tongues is the supernatural ability to understand and communicate in a known language, right? So that's the interpretation. So someone speaking in tongues in a language that they don't know, and then the gift of interpretation would be God letting them know what that person is saying so that it can be a benefit to the whole body. Yep, to everybody. So we see the different kinds of tongues. We see tongues as an evidence with baptism in the Holy Spirit. We see tongues as a personal prayer language. By the way, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you, and I want everybody to speak in tongues. Again, that's more fully broken down in that message from July 2nd, so do go back and listen to that. But the purpose of it is, a lot of confusion comes about when someone else hears another person speaking in tongues in this church, in this church here. And the problem is that when people who don't understand tongues, maybe non-believers, maybe not, when they're hearing all of these tongues going, it's like, what's going on? It's not for the common good and for the whole body, right? It's not uplifting. Unless God brings an interpretation for that. Now, here's the thing. If we're standing and we're worshiping and there's music going and the person next to you is personally praying to God using their personal prayer language and you happen to overhear them, that doesn't count as this gift of speaking in tongues for the whole body, right? Now, if that person, that same person, then starts speaking in tongues super loud and it goes above everything else going on, that's when we need to pause and we need to wait and say, all right, God, we need an interpretation so that everyone can come and be benefited by this, right? Speaking in tongues builds oneself up with the Lord, right? And so we need it to be beneficial to the whole body if it comes above and beyond. So that is a little clarity for us, but these are the manifestational gifts. My heart is to, I want to see all of these. And I believe that God is able to do that through all of us. And what it would take for that to happen on a Sunday morning is us coming in, getting in here, we should just put a sign on the front door, pause before you come in and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, God, use me. Use me. And then we should put a sign on this side of the door as you go out, God, use me on the way out. Because here's the whole concept of what we do within the church. I want it to be just a mirror of what's happening in our own personal lives. Right? So as we're big about the scriptures, as we're big about spending time daily in the scriptures, that should be happening here together corporately, but it should be happening in your own lives. As we sing worship up here, this should be a reflection of what it looks like in our own lives on a daily basis. We're singing to God. Why? Because we're so joyful and we can't keep it in because God is so, so, so good, as we've seen here this morning. Right? Same thing with prayer. This should be done on a personal level, on a discipleship level, and as a corporate level, because God is deserving of our corporate worship and our personal worship. Right? Okay. We good? All right. Let's stand. I just want to pray, close us out. Father, oh Lord, my desire, as I just mentioned to this gathering of believers, is that we would be a church that's known by your presence. God, that we believe it philosophically and theologically, but also that it would be manifested, that your presence would be known here. As Israel was known by the glory cloud, as Israel was known by those who were led by the cloud by day and the fire by night, they were known by your presence. Let us be a church who is known by your presence. God, I pray for each of these gifts, that we would just be mindful of what we've been learning and that we would be yielding to you. God, I pray, and I'm going to invite all of us to just ask the Lord at this point to just take something from this morning and solidify it in our heart. Holy Spirit, we allow room now for you to minister to each of us on an individual level, because I don't want anyone to leave here without getting something from you this morning. Solidify in our hearts, God. Bring shape to our lives all the more this morning. God, I pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit for each person in this room this morning and for all of our kids and all the leaders and all the classrooms, that there would be a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, that we would all be walking in the power of God to transform the world around us. We declare that we are world changers because the world changer lives in us. And we're available to you, God. We declare it in the name of Jesus. We all said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll love you guys. Go in the power of God this week. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.